The DAL File, the ultimate Cowboys podcast with Nate Lundy.
It is time to talk Cowboys and to do it, one half of the morning show on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. It is our good friend RJ Choppy with us. RJ, let's start here. Have they enshrined Dak Prescott into the Hall of Fame yet? Because it seems that that's what Cowboy fans are ready to do.
Not officially. I have, but for the rest of the town, I mean, look, we love Dak. Everyone seems to think that he's going to be a really good player, but you know, obviously, you'd rather have your quarterback Tony Romo there. But this is certainly exciting because if you look around the division, they've got two rookie quarterbacks starting in the division, and then you got obviously Eli, and nobody really knows what to make of Kirk Cousins. Was it a fluke or is he the real deal? So. This is a really exciting time in the East.
When you look at Prescott, we know that you know the stats have been really good, but you know, RJ, you've seen him as much as anybody. Go beyond the stats for me. What is it about this guy that you think makes him special or makes him fit for this job?
You know, I think he's got a lot of poise. That's one of the things we noticed in the first few preseason games. I mean, he gets thrown in. I mean, obviously, the opener against the Rams, it was their first game at that stadium in L.A. in 25 years, and he comes out there and he plays really well. He played well in the second preseason game against Miami. And then, you know, Tony gets hurt in the early part of the Seattle game. He gets thrown right into the mix. There's no Dez Bryant. And he plays pretty darn well against the number ones for a really good Seattle defense. It's the poise, I think, with Prescott that really has impressed everybody.
Obviously, they decided that they wanted a little bit of depth there at quarterback and brought in Mark Sanchez, who couldn't even win the job over a seventh rounder in Denver. So what is the concern if, in fact, anything happens to Dak? Is that the point at which everybody just throws their hands in the air and gets frustrated? Or is it do they think they can keep Dak healthy until and when Romo comes back?
Well, the offensive line's really good, so they can definitely keep him from getting just pummeled. He's a big, strong guy. He's got a Cam Newton-type body, only a few inches shorter, so it's not like I think he could – he's not fragile, let's put it that way. If they have to get to Mark Sanchez, you know, it is what it is. You know, I mean, you're going to go to your backup quarterback, and, you know, in their case, they'd be going to their third-string quarterback because, you know, Dak's really the backup.
Right.
But, I mean, you know, Sanchez does have a winning – record as a quarterback throughout his career, so that's better than Brandon Weeden. It's you know, they had Matt Castle, but it didn't work with Castle. Sanchez is a little bit more mobile than those guys. That's a good thing, but I mean, look, let's face it, if they get down to what would be their third string quarterback, I mean, this season's going to be over anyway.
Right. When you look at the wide receiver spot, you brought up Dez. You know, how do you see things? You know, you got to have some talent on the other side of the field to take some pressure off of Dez. You know, overall at the receiver position, RJ, give me your assessment of how this team is looking coming into this year.
Well, outside of Dez, the receivers are not terrific. Terrence Williams, his shoulder pads make most of his catches. He does not use his hands to catch the football. That's a problem. He's a body catcher. That's a problem. You know, other than that, I mean, tight end position, Jason Witten is, I mean, he is truly ageless. We have two guys in town that are ageless, so three now, Beltran, Beltre, and Witten. And Dirk, really, so four. We have four guys in this town that are just completely ageless. Witten does not ever seem to, you know, lose a step. And even if he loses a step, it doesn't really matter because he's just a good route runner. He's going to run that same route. He's got great hands. Outside of Dez in the wide receiver position, though, they will struggle. They've got speed, but they don't have a whole lot of experience. They don't have guys that are great catchers.
Does that mean that you could see Dak Prescott leaning on Jason Witten quite a bit? I mean, you just brought up his name. Obviously, he's got great hands, and, you know, for a young quarterback like that, you've got to have somebody you trust.
You know, I certainly think you would lean on Witten. In the first couple of games, he threw to the tight end quite a bit. It was Jeff Swaim in games one and two. He was a backup in camp. You know, Witten certainly would be the guy during the game. But don't discount the fact that, you know, out of the backfield, Zeke Elliott can catch the football, and so can Alfred Morris. So, I mean, he'll rely heavily on Dez. He loves the back shoulder throw. But, you know, I do think they'll rely on other parts of that offense.
Let's go over to the defensive side of things. R.J. Choppy's my guest, half of the 105.3 The Fan Morning Show in Dallas. You follow him on Twitter, at R.J. Choppy. Over on the defensive side of things, you know, obviously there's a lot of question marks in that division at the quarterback position. Does Dallas have the defense to take advantage of it?
Well, the Cowboys' problems that they have on defense, you know, the secondary is going to want to be the best part of this defense. The problem the Cowboys are running into on defense is that their weaknesses, which is the front seven, matches up poorly with the other team's strength. The Giants are really good at the over-the-middle short passing game. That's going to be a problem for the Cowboys. The Redskins are really good at running the football. That's going to be a problem with the Cowboys. And the short passing game as well. The Eagles can do a little bit of that. Although with a rookie quarterback, you know, I don't know what they're going to be able to do, but the Cowboys' struggles for them does not match up well with what the Redskins and the Giants are going to do on offense. And that's going to be a problem. Their defense is going to be a massive problem for this team.
RJ, when you look at this division, does it feel like the potential of an 8-8 team to win the division?
You know, I can't figure this out. I really can't. I mean, they've got the offensive talent to go 12-4, 13-3. Their defense is so bad, though. I do think the division is very winnable. I don't think there's any team in this division that is, you know, head and shoulders above the rest. They all have a lot of holes. I think they can win it. You know, I think they can win 10 games. It depends on when Tony comes back. It depends on how well Dak plays. And then obviously you'll see some injuries throughout the league. But, I do think Prescott is good enough. I love him as a player. I think he's good enough to be able to lead this team to at least 8 wins, maybe, you know, upwards of 10 if things fall right for him.
Is this a season for Zeke Elliott? Is this a season where Zeke could see 350 touches?
Ooh, I would say no. I would lean towards no because I think Alfred Morris is going to get a fair share of carries. It's not going to be 50-50. It'll probably be 65-35, somewhere in there. But I don't think that you're going to have, you know, I don't think the Cowboys are going to do that. They saw what happened to DeMarco the year after they got rid of him after he had, you know, 396 carries and he winds up not having anything last year. They have Zeke for the next 4 or 5 years. They don't want to have him, you know, essentially run out of gas his rookie year. They just wasted, if they're going to use him like that, the fourth overall pick on a running back. You have to use him judiciously. So I don't think he can get 350 now.
RJ, do you see a scenario that if, you know, let's say Romo's ready by week 8 or 9, do you see a scenario where if this team is sitting at, you know, a 5-4, a 6-3, that they go ahead and let him continue to rest? Or do you think the moment he's healthy, Dak Prescott sits down?
You got to remember, this is the Cowboys.
This is trying to predict the dice in Vegas, right?
Right. Yeah, this is the Cowboys here. Tony could come back week 10, and with the bye week, the Cowboys could be 9-0, and Tony Romo's getting that start back. He's getting the job. Doesn't matter. That's the Cowboys. That's what they do. They, you know, Jerry is so in love with Tony. We saw that other organizations, I mean, you know, George Seifert basically ended the career of Joe Montana. Belichick did that with Bledsoe. Did it with Kozar, too. Doesn't matter what the record is. I mean, you know, Brady, when he came in for Bledsoe, I mean, he was 5-2. It's not like he was setting the world on fire, right? It's not like he was throwing for 400 yards a game. He was throwing for, like, 190. But he was running what they wanted him to run. Bill just said, we're done. You know, moving on. I don't care if we just signed you to a 10-year deal 6 months ago. You're done. Cowboys won't do that. They don't operate that way. They don't want to operate that way. They want to operate with, this is our guy. We paid him money. I love him. I'd rather lose with him than win without him. So they're going to stick with Tony Romo.
Last one for you, RJ. RJ Choppy with us. As you look at the game against the Giants coming up on Sunday for week one, other than Dak Prescott, what's the one thing you're going to be watching in this game?
Zeke. Zeke Elliott, for sure. I want to see what he has. You know, he played pretty well against Seattle. in the preseason. I want to see if the hype matches the pick, because there's a lot of questions. I had them too. I mean, is it even worth it taking the running back fourth overall? It doesn't seem like great value anymore. But from what I've seen in camp and in the preseason, in the game against Seattle, the guy was as good as advertised.
Yeah, kid's got talent, that's for sure. RJ Choppy from 105.3, the Fan in Dallas, the morning co-host there. You find him on Twitter at RJ Choppy. RJ, appreciate it as always. Good talking to you.
You too. Thanks, man.
Appreciate RJ's time. Coming up next, the coach, Brian Billick.
Around the league.
It is time for us to go around the NFL, and we do that every week here on the NFL Files with the coach, Brian Billick. You follow him on Twitter, at Coach Billick. He's brought to us by our friends at SeatGeek. Coach, we are here at week one, and as I was making my notes getting ready to chat this week, I realized that we are sitting on a whole lot of quarterback news. So let's start with the trade. Your thoughts on Sam Bradford going to Minnesota?
I think it's a great move. I think it mainly is an indicator that shows you just how good Minnesota thinks they are. A lot of people coming in, including myself, thought they could be not only a playoff team as they were last year, but a Super Bowl contender. And I think Sam Bradford actually enhances that. It's tragic to lose Teddy Bridgewater the way they did, but they were still betting on Teddy Bridgewater to come a little bit. You know, he only had 14 touchdowns last year, and I think he was going to get there. I think Sam Bradford in this system, and I think that's an important part for his ability to turn around and hand the ball up to Adrian Peterson, make the big throws down the field, for them to play good defense, I think it's a great move for them.
And looking at what the Eagles then did, for some on the outside, Coach, it almost feels like the Eagles have said, okay, this is our season, maybe this isn't our season, but they're putting a lot of faith in Carson Wentz, who only took 39 snaps in the preseason. Are you surprised?
Not really. I am an IA, and I'm not. From the standpoint of anytime you take quarterback in the first round, you got to play that guy. I mean, otherwise, I was up at Philadelphia's training camp, and they seemed fully committed to not playing Carson Wentz if that's the way it came down. Remember, Doug Peterson was one who came in 1999 with the Philadelphia Eagles for Andy Reid to basically be a placeholder for Donovan McNabb, and he did that. Now, that was a 5-11 football team. And Don McNabb eventually took over. I'm a little surprised that they went to Carson Wentz this early, although the opportunity to turn Sam Bradford, I was critical of Philadelphia when they signed Sam Bradford and wondered what they were doing, then moved up to get the first round. But for them to recoup a first-round pick for Sam Bradford, I think they've been brilliant.
Yeah, I think overall when you look at that story, it worked out well for the Eagles. I knew that Minnesota was sitting on some extra picks, but obviously getting a first-rounder back was a big deal. Now let's go down to Dallas, Coach, where Dak Prescott will have the reins because of the injury to Tony Romo. You've had a chance to see him in the preseason. We know that all around the Metroplex, they're basically ready to put him in the Hall of Fame. They love him so much. But what have you seen from Dak Prescott that you think is going to be successful for him, and what do you still have concerns about?
Well, I think that optimism is well warranted, but let's not slam dunk him into the Hall of Fame just yet, okay? I mean, this young man doesn't know what's going to hit him. I think the difference, too, when you go back and you look at quarterbacks that have started in rookie years, let's go back to a great case study in 2008 when Joe Flacco and Matt Ryan took over as starting quarterbacks day one. Dak Prescott, Joe Flacco went in because of injury. They did not plan on starting him, and they actually ended up starting him, went to the playoffs. He had a solid year, not a great year, over 60%, a little better than 1-1 touchdown to interception, not stellar numbers, but showed that he could handle it. The difference being is Baltimore had a great defense. They had an established running game. Dallas doesn't have those things. They may have the running game. Obviously, the offensive line is Ezekiel Elliott. It could be a huge plus for them. But that defense has to be a concern. I think more is going to be asked of Dak Prescott than was asked of Joe Flacco, than even was asked of a Matt Ryan back then. And when you look last year with Mariota and Jameis Winston, who had solid rookie years that indicate they're going to be good, solid pros, I don't think as much was asked of them as is going to be asked of Dak Prescott, because that defense is suspect.
You just brought up Mariota, and I was going to ask you about Tennessee and the idea that they want to run what they're calling exotic smash mouth when it comes to their offensive attack this year. The Titans are in a tough division, and yet I feel like they're making steps in the right direction. What are you expecting out of Tennessee and out of a second year of Mariota?
Well, I like Marcus Mariota. I think he and Jameis Winston showed that they can play in this league. Obviously, they've got to take the next step. That description of their offense fits Mike Mularkey. It goes back to his Pittsburgh Steelers day. He ultimately wants to be a smash-mouth running program. But obviously, when you have Marcus Mariota and some of the things he does, they're going to open it up a little bit. It really is all about Marcus Mariota and how much better he's going to fit. Yet, remember, they made the transformation to Mike Mularkey as the head coach because he was the offensive coordinator to develop Marcus Mariota. This happened to him in Jacksonville when he took over. As the head coach to obviously expand on the resume of Blaine Gabbert, and it didn't happen. So, this is going to be a similar scenario. Tennessee and even Mike Mularkey, their fate's going to be tied to how much improvement, obviously, Marcus Mariota makes.
We're going around the NFL with the coach, Brian Billick. He's on Twitter, at Coach Billick. He's brought to us each week by our friends at SeatGeek. Coach, when you look at the Carolina Panthers, we know, first of all, it's always difficult to get back to the Super Bowl in back-to-back years, regardless of whether you win or lose. But how much of their success last year, going 15-1, can they duplicate this year?
Well, that's a tall task to think that you're going to go 15-1. But this is clearly, in my opinion, the best team in the NFC South. This could be one of the top two teams, maybe the top team, even personnel-wise, in the NFC. There's no reason to think that they can't get back there. Cam Newton, there's no reason to think that he's not going to turn around and again have an MVP year. He's got the credentials. They're going to stay committed to the running game if they can stay healthy. To get Kelvin Benjamin back should be a huge plus. And the defense, the front seven in particular. Now, the secondary has gone through some change. And so those that want to look at Carolina and say, gee, what's going to happen with Carolina this year? Are they going to have that Super Bowl losing jinx and not even get back to the playoffs? If they do have some difficulties, it's likely going to be in the secondary. They drafted their second-round pick. James Bradbury is going to start for them. They had enough losses in the secondary compared to last year's team, but that's an area you're going to have to watch.
One of the teams that could threaten them in the NFC is Arizona. Obviously, health matters for all 32 teams, but when you have an older quarterback like a Carson Palmer, when you have Larry Fitzgerald, you obviously need them out on the field. But do you feel like Arizona is the best threat to the Panthers in the NFC?
Absolutely. They're a veteran team, and that staying healthy is true of every team. How good is Carolina going to be if they lose to Cam Newton? So you don't wish that on anybody. And so this is going to be a good football team. It's a veteran team. I know the preseason wasn't particularly dynamic, but nobody cares. You remember the Indianapolis Colts days and their heyday with Peyton Manning. They typically went 0-4. The preseason was just not going to be important. So, I mean, it's important, don't get me wrong, but the final outcome, nobody really cares. Nobody pays attention to. I think Arizona has all the pieces in place. Yes, you got to keep Carson Palmer healthy. Can they indeed build on what was a record year for him? But most of all, I really like what they're doing in the running game. Bruce Arians, let's go back again to your Pittsburgh roots, much like the Mike Mularkey. He wants to run the ball. Even though you got Larry Fitzgerald and Michael Floyd, they want to run the ball. If David Johnson stays healthy, this guy's pretty good now. I know Bill Belichick is saying, well, he's no Marshall Faulk. Okay, but he's not bad. This David Johnson is pretty good. They want to run the ball well. And if they can continue to build on that aspect of it, they're going to be right where they were last year.
You talk about how difficult it is to get back to the Super Bowl, win or lose, and Denver's going to try to do it with a seventh-round pick starting at quarterback. How exactly do they do the fans have confidence in the idea of trying to get back to the Super Bowl with such an unproven quarterback?
Well, you're still in the glow of the Super Bowl championship. They're going to raise that banner, and so, yeah, confidence is going to be high, and it should be. You're going to play great defense. Typically, you look at this, and you'd say, okay, they made the determination. We're going to play great defense. We're going to run the ball, and all our quarterback has to do is not throw 23 interceptions like our quarterbacks did last year. Now, I think there's a little bit more to that. The biggest part of that equation to me is, are they going to run the ball better? Because they desperately need to. We'll find out about Trevor Siemian. I think he's a placeholder for Paxton Lynch. Trevor Siemian, I think, could be a solid backup in this league. I followed him in his college career, which you see in the preseason. I don't see those qualities necessary to say this is going to be a frontline championship caliber quarterback. I certainly could be wrong. And I think Dak Prescott, I think when that went out and drafted Dak Prescott and they let Brock Osweiler leave, that was the ultimate plan.
Last one for you, Coach. As you look at the Patriots, obviously they'll have the first 4 weeks without Tom Brady. They have a schedule that looks like, even with Garoppolo if, as a game manager, if he doesn't make mistakes, that 2-2 is pretty easy, maybe even 3-1. What are your expectations for the Patriots while they wait for Brady to come back?
Well, there's any number of reasons. With a better New York Jet team, with what looks to be an improving Miami Dolphins team, I think a Buffalo Bill team that could really explode onto the scene. But I've been burnt on this one too many times. I'm not picking against Bill Belichick. I usually say I'm not picking against Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. The fact that they still have they're still going to have 12 games when we're done to deal with whatever happens in the next couple of weeks. The strength for the New England Patriots, beyond the fact that they're the New England Patriots, is you keep talking about, okay, do you have to whittle down the game plan or do you have to change the game plan for Jimmy Garoppolo? Well, that's what they do. More so than any team in the league, they morph from 1 week to the next to whatever they have to be. They're the only team in the league that will literally throw the ball 50 times 1 week and run the ball 40 times the next. So they're obviously going, they're not just at the quarterback position, but the team is used to changing its dynamics in terms of what it wants to do from week to week. Clearly, that'll be the task for them with Garoppolo. You know, see what kind of control he has of the offense, play good defense. The schedule right now looks like, we don't know how these teams are really going to play out, but right now it looks pretty manageable. So I think they're going to be in good shape.
He's the coach, Brian Billick. You find him on Twitter, at Coach Billick. He's a part of our Around the NFL here on the NFL Files podcast every single week. It's brought to you by SeatGeek. Make sure you download the SeatGeek app. You're looking for concert tickets, sporting events, a great way for you to make sure you're paying the best possible price for the tickets that you buy. It's SeatGeek. Coach, we'll talk to you again next week. Thanks.
All right, sounds good.
We're going into overtime next with Chad Brown, former NFL linebacker. Stick around.
Overtime.
This week on Overtime, it is 15-year NFL vet Chad Brown spent time with the Steelers, with the Patriots, as well as the Seahawks. And so Chad joins us here on the NFL Files podcast. And Chad, a six-pack of questions for you. And we start here. Question number one, what's the worst part of the opening week as a player?
That your conditioning isn't at as high of a level as it will be later in the season, and you never really get your second wind during the course of the ball game.
So you're maybe not quite where you want to be, and so you start feeling it late in the game?
You know, you feel it early. Late in the season, you know, you go out there and you play, and somewhere, you know, halfway through the second quarter, you're breathing relaxed and you kind of get that second wind kind of feeling. The first week or two of the season, you are out there struggling. You've play the full preseason, you've done all the conditioning, it's just your body is just not ready for a full 60 minutes of NFL high-level regular season football.
Nice. All right, question number two in our six-pack. You spent some time here during training camp with Tennessee. What was that like?
It was an incredible experience, and to contrast that where I was last year I did an internship with the Seattle Seahawks, obviously one of the best teams, one of the best franchises in the NFL, versus this year with the Tennessee Titans coming off a 3-13 season, them really trying to build something. I think they will be able to build something good there, but a very different experience. One team that's already there, one team that's trying to be there. And also maybe the best part of the entire experience was getting a chance to essentially shadow Dick LeBeau for an entire month. Dick LeBeau will be in his 58th year in the NFL this season. So to shadow a guy like that with that much NFL experience was literally a priceless experience. And as good of a coach as Dick LeBeau is, he's in the NFL Hall of Fame. He's an even better human being and a better person. I really enjoyed that experience and that time with him.
As you sit right now, Chad, removed from the game, what's the one thing you would go back and tell your NFL rookie self right now if you could do it?
Don't ride the highs and the lows. It's each season is a marathon, and if you are constantly riding the highs and the lows, you're going to wear yourself out emotionally. There's only so much emotion in the human body that you can tap into that reservoir during the course of the season. And to try to be as steady as you can during the course of the week and after the game and while you're watching film is going to allow you to keep as much as you have in the reserve for the game time when you actually need it. Young Chad, you know, always left the game either extremely happy or extremely sad. And come to find out when you watch the film on Monday, it wasn't as bad as you thought it was, nor was it as good as you thought it was. So just try to be steady, Eddie. Keep your emotions in check so you can tap into them when you actually need them on Sunday for those 3 hours.
Question number, let's see here. I'm on four here now for Chad Brown. He's on Twitter at ChadBrown94, part of overtime here. Chad, your favorite quarterback that you ever got to sack, your favorite quarterback to hit?
Man, you know, I've been lucky enough to hit a lot of them. sacked Peyton Manning, strip sacked Peyton Manning, sacked Joe Montana. So that's probably the, you know, most iconic of the quarterbacks who I sacked. But, you know, if there's was a quarterback who's played, you know, in the 15 years I was in the NFL, there's a strong chance I got to sack him. You know, if I were to choose just one, I probably would go with Joe Montana just because I consider him to be the greatest quarterback of all time. So what better prize than to get the greatest of all time?
Question number five, Chad, would you trade your college national championship at Colorado back in 1990 for a Super Bowl ring? It's a tough one, isn't it?
No. It's a very tough question, but I'll give the answer no. The NFL, while winning a Super Bowl, which I've never won, I'm sure is an amazing experience. To do the national championship in college is different just because NFL, you're a professional, and in college, you're an amateur. And so for a college athlete, you win that championship with guys who you spend all your time with. These are literally your brothers. It's not just your teammates like it is in the NFL. These are literally your brothers. My roommate was on the football team. I spent all my time with those guys. You know, so because of that bonding experience, because of who we are, even now later in life, you know, I will be at those guys' funerals. You know, I'll be there when their, you know, children or grandchildren are born. Because of those types of relationships, I think that makes the national championship in college sweeter than a Super Bowl championship would be.
Last one for you, Chad, in our six-pack of questions. Do you have a pick for who's going to win the Super Bowl this year?
You know, I do not. You know, I don't get into that. It's always fascinating to me whether we're talking college football or pro football. You know, the folks who do that, and I respect those who give it a shot. There's just so much football to be played. So many wacky things can happen. You know, the Broncos won the Super Bowl last year, you know, with one of the worst offenses in Super Bowl winning history. There were points late in the season where it looked as if they might not even win their division. So, you know, so many things have to happen for it all to line up. So my guess would literally just be an absolute guess. You know what? But just for the sake of doing this, I'll go with the Seahawks on the NFC side, and I'll go with the Steelers on the AFC.
Very nice. There he is, Chad Brown. He's our guest for overtime this week on the NFL Files. He's on Twitter at ChadBrown94. Make sure you give him a follow. Chad, thanks.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
This has been a Sports Joe production. For more team-specific podcasts, visit sportsjoe.com.